Rob Parr, Central Avenue. We're all about the Sunshine City. RadioSanctity.com.
A lot of pride in seeing your receivers play well. Devin Funchess has seemed to really embrace the physicality of his routes and getting those extra yards. Does that give you a little bit of an enjoyment to see him kind of truck sticking people out there?
It's funny to hear a female talk about routes. Like, it's funny. But
okay, and are you ready for the show?
Yay, we're ready, Lucy. Please start.
And so I started.
I'm Steven Souza with the Tampa Bay Rays. You're listening right here with the Homemade Broadcast.
Personnel, this is CBTS. Base vehicle pre-count operations will start on my mark at 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
It is the Homemade Broadcast, HMB Radio on RadioSaintPete.com. Good day. My name is William Koontz. Thanks for tuning in to the Homemade Broadcast this week. I am not well. I do not feel good. I am ill, and I don't mean cool. I mean sick as hell. That's right. Your boy Bill's got the flu already. It's barely even fall yet, and already got it. So, luckily, though, my guest this week came in, thought we were recording last week, so he stopped in last week, and we just recorded an episode for that, right? So now I had one in the bank, thank God, because I could not have done one this week. As you can tell, I'm struggling with this, even doing this. I've been sleeping for hours and hours and hours the past few days. I've pretty much been asleep more than I've been awake. It sucks. So I'm going to go get a flu shot, I think, because I can't do this again. I don't want to do it again. And it's only beginning. So anyway, welcome to the show. Cam Newton, a lot's went on this week. Holy crap. I mean, the news has just been insane this week. Tom Petty's dead. There's the biggest mass shooting in American history that passed the one from a few weeks ago or last year in Orlando in Las Vegas. I don't mean to laugh, of course. It's terrible, but you know, it seems to be happening more and more. There was Tom Petty died, Hugh Hefner died. Lots of icons are just dropping. But Cam Newton, everybody's talking about that. So probably a lot of people are talking about Cam Newton, though, too. He got in trouble for that comment he made regarding that sports reporter we kind of scoffed at. I played it right before the show there. That was Cam Newton from the Carolina Panthers, quarterback. One of the elite quarterbacks in the league, Pro Bowl, MVP candidate, you know, just a guy who knows what he's doing, knows the game. And he's getting scorn from everywhere because he dare say that it's funny to hear a lady talk about routes. Is it funny? I don't know, but does anybody want to talk about the asinine way she asked the question? The physicality of routes? Now, I played high school football for a week, okay? I didn't want to do it because I'm a puss, and I didn't want to play football after all. So, but I do know, like, what does physicality of routes mean? What does that mean? It's one of these things where you get these people who don't really know what they're doing, and they step into the world. Maybe she misspoke, too. I'm not saying she's an idiot or anything, you know. I misspeak all the time. But they're jumping all over Cam because he said it's funny to hear a lady talk about running routes. Is it funny? I don't know. I don't know what to say anymore. But boy, is he getting an earful from everybody on Twitter. I don't think he has a Twitter account, which is smart. The reporter said that she had spoke to Cam about it after, and he seemed very unapologetic about it. Good. If that's how you feel, don't apologize for it. And if you don't like it, too bad. Suck it up. You know? What does that mean? What is he supposed to do? Change the way he thinks because you don't like it? I mean, come on now. But the answer, I guess, most people would say is yes. That's what I want him to do. I want him to change how he feels in his heart because it doesn't appeal to my sensibilities and how I feel as a human being. Doesn't care about him, you know, but they do want everybody else to change the way they think and the way they feel about it. Anyways, so this week on the show we have Chris Fisher. Chris is a longtime radio personality here in the Tampa Bay area. Unfortunately, I saw through social media that he had been let go from his post with AM 820 earlier this week, so I invited Chris to come on and talk to me, and we had a conversation about, you know, the inner workings of radio and what he's going to do next, and I tried to convince him to do a show on this HMB Radio podcast, which if you have not, please subscribe. If you search HMB Radio Tampa Bay, or if you go to hmbradio.com, you can go to the listen page and listen there, subscribe on Stitcher, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. I don't know what's been going on lately, but I've been checking the subscriptions part of the website, and they've been kicking butt lately, man. So I don't know what's been going on, but I don't know, like it could be bots or something, I don't know, but the numbers are really good compared to what they were even 3 weeks ago. So that's awesome. Thank you all, new people that are tuning in, I appreciate it. Let me give you some stickers. If you email me at thehomemadebroadcast@radiosaintpete.com, we'll gladly send you a few stickers on me. I'll pay for the postage and everything. So I encourage you to do that. Make sure you keep up with the page on Facebook, facebook.com/HMBRadio. And follow Radio St. Pete while you're there as well. Radio STPETE on Facebook. Same thing on Twitter and Instagram. And my Instagram and Twitter is home_made_man. Johnny B just tears me apart every week when I'm on there Wednesday nights for Will Do Wednesdays because of the underscores in my Twitter handle. But sorry, homemade man was taken, and that's what I built my brand on. So I'm sorry, dude. You have to say underscore. I know it's a pain in the butt. But he's gotten really good at it the past few weeks, so I'm proud of him. And do check that out, 102.5 The Bone, Wednesday nights, 10 to midnight. I'm usually in there hanging out with those people, and I got some goofy audio to play, and it's always a fun time hanging out with them. So, yeah, let's talk to Chris Fisher as I try to convince him terribly to do a show on this HMB radio network I'm building out. But who knows, maybe down the line something will happen. I just saw today, though, he signed with somebody doing, I don't know what he's, I guess podcasting of some kind. But no hard feelings, Chris. I still love you, and I wish you the best. But let's talk to, sponsors, too. See, this is what happens when you got Advil cold and sinus brain. Thank you to our sponsors. This podcast is completely sponsor-supported. And I thank these people for taking the interest and the time and the money to do this. And if you want to become a sponsor, that's certainly doable. You can get a hold of me at 813-693-2124 or just go to hmbradio.com under the contact section. You can do so. So thank you very much to Tap House 61, my favorite watering hole in all of St. Petersburg. They got some really great music acts coming through. They got some guy, I should have probably looked it up before I started this. Sorry, Joe. But he's in Rolling Stone, and Rolling Stone loves the guy. He's some blues guitarist, and he's playing there, I think, this week. So check out facebook.com/taphouse61 and get the info on that. It's going to be a great show. I'm going to try to get out for that one. And thank you to Truvy Salon Spa. Yes, 8908 4th Street North, Unit B. Truvy, that's T-R-U-V as in victory, Y, salonandspa.com. Chrissy down there cutting hairs, painting nails, you know, just making you beautiful. And you deserve to be beautiful because you're beautiful on the inside. You got to beautify your outside so it matches. So go see Chrissy, have her do that to you, and then go to Tap House 61 and grab a beer at 2061 Central Avenue. Okay, Chris Fisher this week, homemade broadcast, HMB Radio, here right here on Radio St. Pete. What's up, man? You've had a busy few weeks here.
I have. I think the last time you and I spoke, the last time I joined you on your podcast, thanks for having me, by the way.
Absolutely.
Was, I think, right after the last time I got fired.
Yep, yep.
Or shortly thereafter. It's never fun.
No.
It's my fifth time, but I'm doing good, thank you.
This is one of my biggest fears about trying to go in this career path is...
Yeah, let's talk about that, because the last time I was here, you were not in radio, and you've got your foot in the door, and that's one of the things that they taught me early on. That's one of the things I always passed on to other people when they're asking me advice on how to get into a radio. Get your foot in the door. I don't care if it's promo, engineering, whatever. Get your foot in the door. So there you are. How long you been there?
A little over a year.
My old stomping grounds?
Yes. Yep.
From what I understand, it looks very different than when I was there.
I don't remember what, well, I don't think I ever saw it when you were there, but it's, yeah, it's very nice. I know one of the presidents came in, or I think the president came in, and they redid all the walls and made it look really nice before she got there. So okay. It's very lovely now. Yeah.
Nice, nice.
Yeah.
So what have you learned?
What have I learned? So, I mean, I'm still pretty much the low man on a totem pole there. I'm doing promotions gigs. Johnny B was nice enough to give me an opportunity on Wednesday nights. Where I collect audio pretty much from somewhere, and then he busts my balls about it.
Awesome.
Pretty much, and
awesome.
Makes fun of me for a period of time. But then I get to sit in on the rest of the show, which is cool.
So now that you've been behind the scenes in radio for nearly a year,
yeah.
What are some things, like some perceptions you had going in that have been completely shattered? Things that you thought, oh, I thought radio was this way, and holy crap, it's it's completely different.
I think probably there's more than meets the eye to it. It seems like a pretty simple process, right? Like you probably have some engineers, you have some talent, and then it's a huge company. Like there's salespeople, there's, you know, like the engineers, the promo people.
A huge sales force, a huge street team, a huge like promo team. You're right, engineers. There's probably like four of them in that building.
Yeah, that sounds about right. And just the moving parts, everybody has to kind of work. It's a well-oiled machine. You know, everybody's talking to each other. And it kind of just seems like you kind of go in, you know, you would do your show and then leave. But it's not really like that. There's way more that goes on behind the scenes than I thought.
Yep. I think probably what would surprise people the most, yeah, is the work that goes into it. Because if you're listening to your favorite show, you just think it's a bunch of people, I mean, jerking around. And there is a certain degree of that. But there's a lot of work that goes into the jerking around.
Yeah, it's also very humbling, too, when I see, you know, Johnny's has his own show now Monday through Friday, and he's coming from his second job. And sometimes he's doing third jobs and odd jobs and comedy gigs. And I kind of thought, like, what a fun job it would be to work 4 hours a day. And then you get to go home. And then that's it. You go in, you talk for 4 hours, and then that's your day. That's it. And it's really not turning out that way. I don't know, like, was it like that when you started, though, where you could make a living doing a radio show for 4 hours?
You could, yep. You could, but you know, to do a four hour radio show, you're prepping 4 hours as well, or longer. One of the ways that I always looked at my morning show is it's like comedy. You're never not prepping. I made a very good living for a very long time. But, you know, once the telecommunications bill passed in 1996, and corporate radio was able to come in, or corporations were able to come in and do what corporations do. You know, it was slow, but it's taken 15, 20 years. But they, things are not the same.
So what happened with that? It allowed corporations to like buy up these small outlets,
yeah,
pretty much?
Deregulated the industry. So I guess back before then, it was something like you could own two radio stations in a market, or if it was a big enough market, you could own like 2.5 or 3 or something. But after that, it was open season, and a lot of companies, I think, were trying to make the radio, the old radio model fit. And it was doing okay there for a minute, but as digital came into play and people are, here's the thing about radio. Radio's great for advertisers if you have a lot of money. And you're able to apply the tonnage to your advertising. So if you got a lot of money and you can run a lot of spots and stay on the air month after month after month after month after month after month, you'll be successful, because it's like throwing out a big casting net, you know, to try to catch fish. But in the new age of digital and is more target marketing, you know, who exactly do you want? And we can go find those people. You don't have to just throw out a huge casting net and then hope you catch something. Mm-hmm. You know you're going to, but you might not catch what you want. Where now you can target, I know exactly what fish I want, and here's the right hook, here's the right bait, here's the right line, boom.
Yeah.
And that's where podcasting is, what you're doing, and these other mediums. So.
Yeah, I wonder, like, it's scary the amount of data that they have now on you. The things that they can do with, they know what you're masturbating to. They know where you're at. Like, I'm afraid of, like, you asked me for my address here. You're like, and I was like, oh, I don't want to give that over at Facebook. But I was like, I have a tracking device on my phone.
Right.
They know where I'm at.
Right.
They're not going to, you know.
I was talking to some companies or just, you know, since I got canned last week. And they want me to come into where they are and do a show out of their facilities. And one of these companies, and they specialize in that marketing, you know, that whatever, targeting the right audiences through social media and the internet and all that. And they're like, we can even specifically target everybody who's ever listened to your old radio stations. So if they ever, you know, and we can do that in a couple of different ways. One of them is by, we have the data of ticket sales. So whatever concerts they've thrown over the past few years, we have all that data and or have access to that data. We put together a little package for you. Next thing you know, we're letting you everybody know where your new show is that used to listen to you back at your old radio station.
Yeah, it's kind of frightening. Like, it seems like it's kind of cool, though, because that is, I mean, the companies aren't wasting their money now. I mean, because there's a kind of an argument if advertising even works. They're not even sure if advertising really works. The psychological mechanisms behind
it. It definitely works, or else you're not having, you know, Coca-Cola spend $1 billion a year on it or whatever.
Well, I think a lot of that is that Pepsi's doing it, so I better spend that money, too, just in case, because I don't want to get left behind.
As far as I know, all whatever research I've read over the years, advertising is does work. Mass media advertising works. It is more beneficial to some industries over others. And those that it benefits, like car dealerships, and that's why you hear car dealerships all over the radio, because it's good. One of the things radio is really good for is that we have this, you know, we have this great deal going on right now, and you have to know about it right now. So you listen to radio going, oh, they got, you know, we got to get in there this weekend because they got the whatever, whatever sale and get $2,000 off your, you know, next Nissan, blah-de-de-blah-de-de-blah. I mean, look, you have the one guy who will, what's his face, that won't even can talk about his, you know, his product or, you know, his deal. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And just like mom, you're wondering if a guy had a stroke.
They had one on my station, where it was, he was just rambling. It started, and he was just kind of like, oh,
I wanted to call 911.
Yeah, and I was like, what is going on here? This is freakish. Like, is this a Halloween
thing? Now, there's also a difference between, you know, advertising and marketing and branding. And that kind of stuff's more, I think, in the marketing side of things. Advertising, from, you know, what I gather, is your, hey, this is my product. This is what it does. And it's the best at this. Here you go. Marketing is, you know, is developing a feeling that's, you know, that surrounds this particular product or brand. And so I think, you know, just his natural charismatic personality and whatever it is about his nature, he appeals to people and he's doing very well. And I'm sure his success is not solely based on his radio commercials. Mm-hmm. I have a feeling he probably knows what he's doing behind the scenes too. So
yeah. Or he just has a bunch of money that he can just do this and say, well, the other guys are doing it, so I'm just going to be a creep. And
so you don't think advertising works?
No, I'm not saying that. I think that they don't know for sure if it works.
It's just not an exact science.
Right.
It works if you're doing it right, you know. But I think, you know, if you go, okay, well, if I have this product and I need to market to these people, all I got to do is fill in blanks A, B, and C, X, Y, and Z, and it'll be a successful ad campaign. No, you have to understand trends. They're constantly changing. What worked as a marketing campaign 3 years ago might not work as a marketing campaign now.
Yeah.
One that you did a year ago might not work now. But one that you did 7 years ago may still be going strong. Flo for Progressive has, you know, been around for 10, I think this is her 10th year mm-hmm. being the face of that company.
I wonder how much money she made. She's got to be a multimillionaire at this point, just off that one thing.
I doubt that.
You think so? You don't think so?
We
could probably look it up.
Maybe.
Let's look it up.
I don't know if she, you know, when she reworks her deals, if her agent's like, listen, you know, Flo's your girl. She's been your girl for 5 years. So you guys got to find you to back the truck up.
Flo from Progressive Net. Nope, not bet. Net worth. Oh, my God. I can't even type.
Right. Smells good in here, man. What do you got
Thank
cooking?
Thank you. I was cooking a pork chop. Yeah, we were supposed to do this podcast next week. And Flo is an extremely likable character, known for over 5 million likes on Facebook, earning her about $500,000 per year. She has a net worth of about $1 million.
All right.
Okay, so she's finally getting paid now.
Not too shabby.
After many years, yeah. And that could be old, too. Yeah, I was cooking pork chops. Buy one, get one free at Publix.
Smell delicious.
Oh, yeah. I got those. They're like good ones, too. They're those big, thick ones, which I don't really know how to cook pork chops, so that's why it's a little bit burnt in here and smoky. So I'm sorry about that. Well, I would have been nice and prepared. I usually turn the air down before people get here, light candles so it smells nice.
Well, I apologize. I was early by a week, first of all.
Yeah. No, that's fine. I mean, luckily I was here, thank God.
Right.
I'd feel terrible if he came all the way down here and nobody was here.
I got my, pork chop. I got a garlic herb stuffed pork chop recipe.
Ooh,
that I go to.
These ones would work really well for that, all too. Right. They're like nice and butterflied.
I'm an allrecipes.com kind of a guy.
Mm-hmm. Are you a cook? Can you cook?
Oh, yeah. I'm the cook of the family, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm learning. It's hard to cook for one, though. You have at least a lady at home you can cook for.
I never cooked before then.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's almost impossible. For somebody like me.
It's
for,
hard.
I mean, most people.
I mean, cooking for one being, you know, just by yourself, it's usually just, I'll just have a bowl of cereal. It's easier.
You're right. It just seemed like such a long, arduous process for little payoff, even though it's not little payoff. It's your dinner.
Yeah.
But
if you're anything like me, though, you're eating your dinner in about 3 minutes.
Right.
It's
also
here and then it's gone.
But yeah. Also, before I met her, too, in those situations, just go around the corner to, you know, whatever restaurant and just get something.
Yeah.
But I enjoy it now. I cook. Well, I don't know, about 5 days a week. I did cook 5 days a week until I had all these gigs at night. But is that me or you?
I don't know. Either way.
I it's cathartic. I enjoy the process, and I don't know what else to say about it.
You know what? I don't like raw meat. I could do without the raw meat. I don't like touching it.
Yeah,
I don't like
doing it.
Especially chicken. Chicken grosses me out.
That's the worst part of cooking is probably cleaning the, you know, chicken breast.
Yeah. I used to work at Beef O'Brady's, and one of the duties there was wing duty, okay? So you had to dig in with your bare hands, take out the wings, and then I would go wash my hands after because I just touched raw chicken, and I would get yelled at because we're slowing things down. We got to keep moving. But I'm like, there's chicken all over my hands. So they had to finally buy me those big gloves where I could dig in and just pull it off. But it is nauseating. The smell of
it's
raw chicken has this weird smell.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know what it is about it.
Does not gel.
Yeah, it's funky. So what happened? You were at AM 820, right, for a while, and did a company come in and scoop it up and buy it up? Or?
No, I've been over at AM 820 News, Genesis Communications, for a little over a year and a half. Something like that. So. But I was subcontracted. I'm not an employee, or I was not an employee. And then they had this guy come in at the beginning of the year, and he pulled us aside, Schreiner and myself, Kurt Schreiner, and said, man, everybody loves the show, but there's no money in it. So we got to figure that out, or eventually we're going to be having a conversation about how we have to cut the show. So months passed. We had the conversation again, and then I realized what they were insinuating is I need to go out and get money for the show.
You personally?
Yeah.
There's no sales team there at all?
It's kind of a revolving door situation there. They have something.
Yeah.
But, and they're focused on, because we're not, you know, in radio, you focused mainly on morning drive and then afternoon drive. Well, we're the midday show. So you got Bubba in mornings, which is a new show to the station, so they're focusing a lot of attention on that, and then afternoons with Dan and Dury. So, so we got off the air last Thursday, and they called us into the office and said, you know, well, here's the conversation. This surprises nobody. If we could just get $2,000 into the, a month into the show, we'd keep you guys. But otherwise, they got to do what they got to do for business. So,
that's a tough gig, too. Like, I have a feeling most radio personalities are not salesmen. You got to be a certain type to do that. I feel like with sales, like I almost sold life insurance after college, and part of the deal was like everybody you meet is a potential client at that point. So you can't just have a normal conversation. It always has to be some sort of underlying motive.
Angle.
Like, hey, you know, you could just mention that, hey, I sell insurance. Just if you ever need anything, you know, hit me up type of thing. And it's really not authentic.
No, and I couldn't be that kind of a salesperson. I could only sell things that I believed in. So selling your own show should be, you know, easy. But there was a little situation there, and so as I was going out to get advertisers, made my first phone calls there in August. There were some things that had gone down at the radio station, and like I said, I was a vendor. And they had some issues with a couple of their other radio stations that was sucking money out of the company like a black hole. So they put, you know, their vendors kind of on the back burner, making sure they can cover payroll and all that other stuff. And so next thing you know, they were behind a couple months, you know. And so I was trying to, you know, figure out that and wasn't getting answers. And so then I was like, well, how can I go out and get advertise, you know, go leverage these relationships that I've made here in the Bay Area over the last 15 years or so, 20 years, and bring them into some place where I'm not even certain what's going on. They haven't paid me in a couple months, you know? So as I was sitting there, kind of stuck there, you know, no money was coming in, another month passed, you know, we're going through the hurricanes, and then last Thursday happened, so.
So you've been working pretty much with no pay the past few months.
We've gotten close to getting caught up, and you know, I don't make that sound more dramatic than it actually is. Listen, I get business and independent companies and stuff like that, and there are times where you take it on the chin, you got to adjust, and that's something that they had to do. So I'm sure we'll get caught up, you know, with everything, and yeah, they even said, listen, if we could find $2,000 a month, you know, to advertising wise, we could start there. We can get the show back on the air. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. We'll see.
I think radio personalities that are still active, even, you know, doing on-air stuff, are crazy if they're not doing a podcast right now. Have to have something to fall back on and stay consistent, even if it's once a week, once a month even, just something to put out there to keep up, you know, with your audience. Because you grow this audience and all of a sudden they can't find you. But if you're gone, all of a sudden, they could still find you. They know where to find you.
Right.
And it's right on their cell phone
most
of the time.
Yeah.
Now, I know you started doing Facebook Live videos.
Yeah.
And those are podcasts, pretty much.
Yeah. Those right now are more like video blogs to me, you know. And my wife wants me to tighten them up a little bit because, you know, this is, you know, as soon as you get fired, those first couple weeks are really important, and she doesn't want any potential program directors tuning in or watching and going, what's this guy babbling on about?
Right.
But there's a part of you really just want to, before you get back into having to be so tight, you know, with your breaks and so concise and this and that, I don't know, just breathe for a minute or two, for a day or two before you start getting back into the, you know,
well, it becomes like part of your day. I mean, this is, you would go and do this show. I mean, that time, you're like, I got to do this. It's just it forms a habit.
There's other benefits to it, you know, like you just said, to keep you in, you know, the habit, the groove of doing a show day in and day out. And like you said, man, it's so easy to drop off the face of the planet now, but there's no reason to, so.
Right. Yeah. I mean, you could even do them. There's Periscopes through Twitter. I'm not a big fan of the Periscope or Facebook Live. I think probably YouTube would be the way to go if you're going to do anything video, just because it's one of those broad platforms. You can still get it on your phone. Everybody's got YouTube. Most people have Facebook, too, so I guess it wouldn't be. But you're limited to friends, right? You can only have, so you can only reach like 5,000 or something like that, where this you have a potential to reach.
So what would you do if you were me, then? If you were a radio personality in a town for, you know, 15, 20 years, times are changing, and you're trying to capitalize on, you know, what equity, what capital you have in a market, what would you do if you were
I would man? Find a budding young professional that's doing podcasting already that has a network and distribution that he distributes himself, and I would say, hey, can I do a podcast on your thing? Just do it for me. Just put it up for me, and then I'll share the link, and I'd be like, yeah, I'll definitely do that.
All right, and then that's it? I'm good?
Well, I mean, there's a lot of variables.
Does the money
that.
Start coming in the next week or the second week after that?
So even with that, like, I have to sell my stuff too, the sponsors that I have. I've had to go out and say, I do this. I know I have metrics to show how many plays, you know, it has and, you know, how it's performing. And so it depends on you. You ever read that book, The Tipping Point by Malcolm Gladwell?
I know.
So it's about how trends get started and how these things just blow up all of a sudden. And that's where the tipping point comes from. It's like striking a match. All of a sudden, it just catches fire. I have my equipment here. I have the gumption and the will to start my own company. So that's...
You are the will.
That's it, yeah. So, I mean, I'm probably not making this sound too appealing. I should probably be selling to you.
You know, I've dabbled in the podcast space already, and, you know, Jesse Cage and myself, me by myself. And so I know that that is, you know, part of my, I think that's a part of my future, but I'm not sure exactly, you know, what yet.
Yeah.
And what capacity, I don't know.
I feel like it's just, you know, you're stronger together. You build a solid team. And that's when things get done.
Yeah.
Because you intermix, you know, people like you. There might be some people like me, bless their hearts. And then you find a few other, you know, people who are doing this that have something to offer that do it consistently on a regular basis. And magic could happen, potentially.
Magic.
Can't guarantee anything.
You never know.
But you never know.
You never know. Something eventually or at some point came from nothing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so you never know.
I was so excited when I got Ian Beckles to do his podcast with me. And we did one, and then after that he said he didn't have time. And then a few weeks later he had a podcast on another distribution website.
Those bastards.
Yeah, it happens. Yeah. That's another thing I noticed about radio is that there is a lot of egos in the building. And I guess you have to have one, right, if you want to do this professionally.
I think that's one of the things that hurt me is I didn't have a – I don't know. I guess I had my fair share of an ego, or I have my fair share of an ego.
It's part of the job, I think. You have to.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And I think I don't know. I think I could have been a better leader, a better host of a show.
Mm-hmm. So, but I mean, you were like Sharon with Schreiner. I mean, you were both hosts.
Yeah, that was very difficult because I've never been in that situation.
And alone in that chair for a while, and he was just doing his own show, right?
No. He was partnered up with somebody else and was, I guess, technically the news guy for that show. So it was hard for me because it was a co-host kind of a situation. And I realized just how, it taught me to listen more. It showed me how much I wasn't listening before to what people were saying around me. And taught me to slow down a little bit. And to let the show come to me versus trying to force everything. So I learned a lot. I'm glad that I had that experience at AM820 doing that political talk, news talk, issue-driven stuff. Really enjoyed that as well. So we'll see.
You know, I still see postings on the job boards for on-air talent. I never see anybody new in the building, but I see the jobs posted. So I don't know where they're going or who they're hiring or what exactly they're doing.
Well, a lot of times when you see job postings, be it in radio or somewhere else, those are what EOE requirement or whatever they call them. But, yeah, they need to put those things out there officially for 30 days or 90 days or whatever the law is.
Mm-hmm.
But they have somebody in mind already, you know, who's going to fill the position.
So, I mean, it seems like they're all going to, like, one person will be the voice of that station now. It used to be there would be different jocks, and now there's going to be one person who pre-records, they do all their, what do you call it? What's the right word I'm looking for? Voice tracking for the whole day, for the whole evening. And now you don't even have to have board ops anymore either because those are all computer-based now. So it's shrinking and shrinking and shrinking. So part of me just wishes I would have paid more attention in math class and... got an engineering degree.
Yes. That is the lesson to be learned from this podcast. don't grow
this is
up,
so sad.
Don't
man.
Grow up to be a radio personality.
Yeah. It's very sad. I'm upset.
Well, I'm not. I got the opposite personality. I get excited about new things and whatnot. It sucks, yes, right now not having a job or a main income like that. And so there's a little nervousness that comes along with it. But
I mean, who knows what's to come, right? I think feel like radio is one of those things too, where you kind of fail upwards. Sometimes you fall into something. You get a call one day. It might take a while.
Who knows? We'll see.
Our buddy Jesse Cage is an example of that, right? He's up in Atlanta.
But that's not sitting there waiting for a phone call either. You know, he's got an agent who's out there hustling for him. Mm. And right now, I don't want to leave Tampa. There's really no reason to get an agent for me to stay here. And also, I don't know how many agents out there, you know, I never had one, and I don't know how many are interested in a 45-year-old, me. You know, I'm I don't even know if you're, how long agents have left in this industry as well.
Yeah.
You know, because like you were saying,
either take it or leave it. It seems like at this point, yeah,
They're trying to figure out. Exactly what you just said. How to, what used to have all these different live shifts. It's one person or one or two people that'll be manning a radio station to become the voice and the face of the radio station, and you don't pay them the kind of money that you once paid us. And there you go. That's America.
Yeah, it's very sad. But I don't know. I feel like maybe it's changing. Maybe it's, I don't think radio's dying. I feel like it's just transforming into something new with the internet and podcasting. And I feel like that's going to be those networks that get people together. There's Riot Cast, Bobby Kelly's, the comedian Bobby Kelly's network. He's got a bunch of comedians doing podcasts on his network.
Your network have a theme?
It's Tampa Bay based.
Okay.
So basically, I want to focus on this area. So it's a small niche market. But I feel like that's the thing, too. You don't want to overextend yourself with what you're trying to do. Of course, I'd love for people to listen worldwide. But is that, who am I? What do I have to offer? I'm a person living in Tampa Bay who's involved in the art scene. So that's what I know. So that's what I'm gunning for. But, I talk about a variety of things. I give my own opinions on here. But mostly I want it to be about people, and what they're doing. So, and why they're doing it. And get to know a lot of these people I don't know. So I can talk to them for a little bit and get to know them, make new friends, too.
How many episodes you on?
This will be 206,
nice.
I believe. I've missed very few weeks, so that's a couple years now. And I've been doing it. Still bad at it, but I know I'm getting better at it all the time. I couldn't imagine. I don't go back and listen to episodes, but sometimes I'll tune in, like be like, "Oh my god, that was terrible," and then I'll tune in and be like, "Oh, it wasn't as bad as I thought it was."
Yep. One of the pieces of advice that I got a long time ago, because I'd beat myself up over some breaks, or and then some breaks you come, or some shows you come out high fiving each other, and a program director told me, it's never as good as you think it is,
mm-hmm.
and it's never as bad as you thought it was. So, mm-hmm. Talking about any given segment or show.
Well, it's repetition, right? It's just doing it, going over the motions. There's a base to it.
I think you're probably right. I just am not good at that. So to me, it was like every show had to be new and unique, and that was so great about having producers like Seth Kushner and Danielle McBroom is... for most morning shows, yeah, you have a template. You fill in the blanks every single morning. And you, hi, everybody, good morning, blah, 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 blah. Ooh, we get the top three, this and this and this coming up. And then don't forget our word of the day and our, whatever the hell you got. And you just fill in the blanks every single day.
Yeah, that's boring.
Really
boring.
But it works. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I couldn't get through my thick skull was those kinds of things works. And I always fought. For the most part, bench what they call benchmarks or features like that. And I was wrong. I was wrong. Because those things work. If it's about ratings, then those things work.
So it's short, because most people are listening for minutes at a time. So you can't go on and on a subject. It's got to be something quick and hit them quick and then move on.
Right. I don't know. It also has to do with becoming known for something is one of the things that they talk about a lot in radio. What is your show known for? What are you known for? And I could never answer that question. I was like, I don't know, man. We're just funny. We just get on and jerk around.
Right.
What are you known for? What they meant was, there at the end, those last 6 months of the Morning X, we were doing Real Sex with the Morning X. And sure enough, those last 6 months, our ratings, because we put, imaging around it, sounders, all that stuff. And sure enough, those last 6 months were some of the highest ratings that we had because we packaged what we did, told everybody we were going to do it at the same time every single day. And the way that, kind of radio psychology works, they're there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I don't know.
Yeah, I guess it's just finding your niche. That's hard. That's a really hard thing to do. To define yourself is a really tough thing to do. I heard it's a sign of maturity if you're able to do that.
Well, then I'm not there.
I'm not there either.
I was talking to a company on Monday, and they are very excited about me, and they started asking me about my brand and what my brand was. And I go, I don't know. I'm the guy that you... I feel like I need to turn to other people around me and go, hey, what's my brand? What's my perception? What's I can say to me, I'm just... I don't know.
You're a guy, yeah.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
This is what I do.
I kind of feel like that, too. It's just you got pushed in this direction to do this job, just some sort of, you know, I don't know if you're a believe in God type of guy, but some ability that you were able to do it and be successful at it. And, you know what you're doing.
Yeah, I like to connect with people, and I, you know.
Tell them how you feel.
Yeah. And I feel like I'm the kind of guy that if you saw me out, you're likely going to see me out at some event that you're going to be at. And if you did, you could come up to me and say hi and have a beer and we'd have a conversation. You'd walk away going, oh, that guy's pretty cool. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what that translates into as far as brand. Or maybe not. Maybe you catch me on an off day and you walk away and go, man, that guy's a real jerk.
So, yeah, that's going to vary from day to day, too. It's a tough gig. You know, I don't know. I'm scared, Fish. This conversation has made me even more fearful of this
of your
industry.
Future in radio?
Yeah. That's why I want to build this podcast up. I feel like that's what the thing to do. I'm not counting on radio to be something that makes me money.
I wouldn't. You know, if it does make you money, great. But I would hedge your bets on that one.
Definitely.
And who knows? Maybe this experience leads you down the path where next thing you know, CMG over there is bringing you into the fold to help launch their podcasting network or something like that. So you never know.
You know, I like to think that they have a plan over there and they know what they're doing, but I'm not so sure. I don't think it's so unpredictable that I don't think anybody knows, for that matter, not just them.
Well, nobody can predict the future, and I know that sounds asinine. What I mean by that is I was watching this guy the other day and, you know, some futurist talking about something. He goes, you know, we are living in very interesting times where nobody, I don't care how smart they are,
knows what the hell is going on.
What things are going to look like in 30 years. It could break this. He's talking about technology and all these other things. He goes, it could break this way, break that way. We really don't know, you know, what the landscape's going to be like 30 years from right now.
Yeah.
So.
I guess that's the same with everything, but I feel like it's, especially in this industry where, you know, media is being consumed differently by different means on your phone. Who knows what they'll have? Probably input something in your brain soon, too, or you can just push the buttons and tune in to Chris Fisher's show on HMB Radio, and who knows?
Yep. It's all on demand, or it will be on demand.
You got to get out of here. I just looked at the clock. You're very late. Chris, thanks for coming in, man. I appreciate it.
Well, it was a pleasure. Thanks for having me.